David writes a postscript in his diary.
June 12th, 1863. Today, about 2 p.m., we commenced the famous march to Gettysburg. It was very dry, for we had no rain since the 9th of May. The dust was from 2 to 3 inches deep, and one could see the heat waves curl up from the dry roads about 25 feet, having the appearance of the sun shining on a piece of hot iron. The wells and springs were about all dry, and the creeks very low. The clouds of dust would rise about 100 feet above us, and I was informed that these clouds of dust could be seen for miles.
On arrival at the old camp near Brooks Station, David found his regiment had started on the march towards Gettysburg. He followed it up, hitching a ride with the baggage train and rear guard. The wagon ride was very bumpy, so he used his haversack to soften the ride. David had some time to rest and make an entry into his diary. Each time he opened the book and began to write, he could still smell the scent of home in the wrapping. He touched his face briefly with the cloth and then put it away as if it had great value.
12th of June, 1863. We went into camp about dark, and oh my, such sore feet as I had. When I pulled off my socks, every toe had a blister, and on the big joint back of the big toe, the skin came off with a sock as big as an old-fashioned copper cent. I did not stop to eat supper that night, but I lay down in my gum blanket with my overcoat to cover, and soon in the land of dreams. June 13th, 1863. Reveille sounded at 3 a.m. and we left camp just at the break of day. There had been considerable speculation the day before as to where we were going, and as the road had been bearing towards the left or south, the word was left to Richmond. When the road turned toward the right this morning, saying, was right for Washington. My feet were in a very bad condition. After marching for about 8 or 10 miles, two large blisters formed on the bottom of my feet about 1 inch wide and 2 inches long. I had to stop and open these blisters, and it was just like walking on coals of fire after this operation.
It was not long before David was getting into the rear. He got so far behind the columns that he finally found himself in the group of ambulance corps. Reaching out his arm, he caught hold of the wagon, which pulled him along 3 or 4 miles. David was quite relieved. The wagons passed soldiers alongside the road, overcome with heat and exhaustion, too many to count. He saw several men that appeared to be lifeless, just lying there, and no one was paying them any attention. Under the dark shade of a towering oak lie a lifeless form of a drummer boy, apparently not more than 17 years of age. He had a very small frame, yellow hair, and blue eyes. As David approached him, he stooped down and observed a bloody mark on his forehead. It showed where the messenger of death had produced the wound that caused his death. His lips were closed, his eyes half open, but his face shone a bright smile of contentment. By his side lay his tenor drum, never to be tapped again.
June 14th, 1863. I fear the march from near Falmouth Heights in Virginia to and beyond the town of Gettysburg will be a long and toilsome one. The heat frequently is so intense that many of the rank and file drop by the wayside. Some men to report later on, and others are still resting alongside the road in the camp of the unknown. These men were gathered there several months afterwards with those who had fallen in battle.
The men got off the road to look for water, for everyone was thirsty. One of the men came to a pond in a field not far from the road. But when the soldiers tried to drink from it, they found it to be the worst water they had ever tried. It was covered with a thick green scum with a lot of big, long-legged flies skating over it. The pond was about 2 inches deep and filled with young frogs. And the water was thick and smelled so strong that David was sure that he could not drink it. But the men needed water, so they all filled their canteens out of this pond. David put into the canteen about 2 teaspoons of coffee to flavor it. He came up with his company shortly after, and as he stepped into the ranks, the boys asked David,
"Have you got any water?"
"Not a drop,"
was his answer, still having about a half canteen of the stuff he had gotten out of the pond. But water was water. He could not give it away. David drank it all before they came to water again. The troop stopped to cook a cup of coffee about noon. Here was a little stream of water not over 1.5 feet wide and about 3 or 4 inches deep, clean running water. It was pure, but as far as David could see up the stream, the boys were washing their feet in it. And by the time it got down to him, it was pretty well flavored. But this use of it made no difference to the men. They made the coffee out of it, drank of it, and washed their feet in it. And as far as they could see down the stream, everybody was using it for the same purposes. It was the same old story. Everybody's feet needed a washing, and as far as you could see up the creek, it was full of men, horses, and mules.